What's up, guys? Welcome back to Indy Bleeds Blue, your all Indianapolis Colts podcast brought to you by Primetime Productions. Head on over to primetimeproductions.net to check out the fastest growing podcast network. Got anything you can imagine from basketball, NBA cross-court coverage, Something's Brewing and Only Bruins for hockey, as well as our newest hockey podcast, Overtime Chicks. You can check out Golf, Four Dudes, One Carp. Bunch of amazing articles from all our great writers. Go to primetimeproductions.net. Check out everything we've got for you over there, including our merch store. I know we don't have a video format, but I'm rocking the dad hat right now. Super comfortable. Check it out today. This episode, we got a little creative with it. We wanted to take inspiration from tweets we've seen online where they went through the AFC South and ranked by position group. So before we get started, Aiden, how are you doing?
Not too bad, sir. You know, we all love car issues and having to get a new car within the exact same week of realizing your car is done for. I'm doing great, Ian. So glad that you could ask. But you know, the biggest savior in the world, sports.
Absolutely. So we're going to start off with Twitter questions today because our last one will actually lead into the topic. So the first question that got asked, if you guys have any questions in the future, doesn't even have to be on a recording day. You can just tag us at INBleedsBlue317 on Twitter. But our first question comes from Joe Scher at @_JuicyJew on Twitter, who is part of Four Dudes, One Cart that I mentioned earlier, asks, how do you see the wide receiver room shaking out in Houston? Did they poison the well with Diggs' attitude? Now, I'll take the first part of that question, and I think they definitely did what they needed to do. They already had a pretty good crew set up to surround CJ Stroud, and I think they only made that stronger, whether that was through the draft or through free agency. Diggs' attitude, that part's hard to tell right now. I think that's something that would come out mid to late season when it gets into really, when it really gets into being crunch time.
Yeah, my opinion on this is, well, first, I think their wide receiver room is pretty solid, my opinion. You've got Stephon Diggs arguably at the wide receiver one spot. I only say arguably because Nico has been kind of crazy, you know. He could arguably be the wide receiver one on that team, but just for this purpose, you know, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is the wide receiver one. You have Nico on the opposite side as a wide receiver two. And then you have Tank Dell as the, probably the slot guy, I would say. It kind of feels like, you know, I don't want to say it because, you know, we are the Colts podcast, but it kind of feels like the same setup as the Colts, just a little bit, you know, where you have Pittman on one side, Adonai Mitchell on the other side. And then you got the, I don't want to say smaller guy, even taller than me, but you got Josh Downs in the slot kind of moving around. So I kind of compare it to that. But, hey, don't forget, Texans also have a really solid tight end crew as well. Dalton Schultz. And forgive me because I don't know his first name, but Jordan is his last name as well. I think it starts with a B, doesn't it?
I think it's Brevin Jordan.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I think that's how their wide receiver core kind of shapes up. And, I mean, I believe Tank Dell will be back for OTAs pretty soon.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been pretty much cleared. But in regards to if Stephon Diggs has soiled the team there, I don't – you know, I understand how he was in Minnesota. I understand how he was in Buffalo. I think when you're such a high competitor – you're going to complain about not getting touches. You're going to complain because you understand how much of an impact you have on the game. And so when you don't get the touches, you feel like the team is losing because of that. You know, it's not the greatest mindset to be in. But I mean, the Texans should know that they have a competitor. I mean, that will openly, you know, let it be known if he's not happy. And that's a good and bad thing. I don't necessarily think it'll soil the group at all because I can see this as being no more than like a 2-year deal. I mean, granted, I think it's only set up for 1 year right now, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I believe he does only have 1 year left on this contract and maybe a
Yeah,
team
because they cut
option
off
the
like
second
the
year.
last few the years or something. They cut it off. But yeah, I don't, I'm like kind of 50-50 because I can see if like certain Texans fans were not happy with this, I can also really see why they would be happy with this. So I'm 50-50 on that question, but I don't think it'll necessarily soil it.
Yeah, I guess if I want to give a like specific answer, I'm going to go with no for this year, just because even though he had those issues in Minnesota, the first few years in Buffalo, there was no talk about his attitude issues. So it seems like those really come about after he's been on a team for a couple years, and you know, I think he tries to get himself acclimated in the first few and doesn't want to rub anyone the wrong way. So I don't think this year he'll cause any issues. And then moving on to our second question from Tommy Bennett at TJ Bennett 37 on Twitter, one of our amazing writers at Primetime Productions and also a mainstay on the Primetime Parlay. He asks, I feel like the Texans are the team to beat. How do you think the Colts realistically stack up, and what do you think the Colts need to do to win the division? Now, the first part of that question, yes, 100%, I do think the Texans are the team to beat in the AFC South. The first part of the question, we'll get into it in our next segment. In regards of what we need to do, first things first, we need to stay healthy. I wouldn't mind seeing us bolster our secondary a little bit more through free agency. But the main issue that we need to get taken care of is the injury bug.
Yeah, my biggest thing is we need to stay healthy, you know. Now I know I understand JT's was partial health, partial holdout, but we didn't have JT for the first 4 games. We only had Richardson partially for the first 4 games. We didn't have Jelani Woods, who everybody is come to an understanding that he might be crazy good. We just have not really gotten a chance to see him that all that often. And then, like, also the O-line injuries. We had Danny Pinter never even make it to the regular season. I don't know about many other injuries outside of that. I know there's probably been a few lingering around, but like, it's, you know, it's the injury bug. It's that's the biggest thing. And my other thing is, you know, I agree with the secondary, although I believe Ballard is on the train where he wants to trust the secondary since they're so young. That's also why I don't believe he decided to draft anybody young to add it to a whole, like, already young group. But I would love, you know, would love to see him add a veteran in there. But it's just like you said, it's number one is health, and then there's a massive gap. And then number two is the secondary bolstering.
Yeah, and we're already going to get a boost from that because early in the off season, I think it was right at the tail end of training camp. We had one of our really good corners, Dallas Flowers, go down with an Achilles injury. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we had Ashton Doolin go down. So there's two key guys that we're going to be getting back right from the jump. And then the first part of Tommy's question leads into our topic today. So on Twitter, if any of you have seen it, it's been going around where Colts fans have gone around. I think just all around fans of the AFC South have gone around and ranked the teams in each position group. Aiden and I
Specifically, well, specifically
didn't.
started by the Titans fans who believe they have the best running back room in the AFC South. And I think us, I really think us Texans and Jaguars fans can really honestly relate that the Titans need to shut the fuck up. Just straight up. But carry on, and I just needed to get that out.
Yeah, that'll probably be a recurring theme, at least in my rankings. But
Every year it'll
just
be.
to start this off, Aiden and I did not get together and create one master list. So we each have gone through, have our own individual rankings, and I'll say honestly, before we get started, I did not think too much with my heart. I know I'm a diehard Colts fan. People probably expect me to have Colts number one for every single category. I did not do that. I looked at the situation with a realistic mindset. Aiden, do you want to kick us off with the quarterback room?
Sure. Yeah. So just like you said, there, no heart in this one. You got to be just a realist. So this one, I looked at, obviously how the last season went and how it's looking with the entire team in total and just how that position is going to be surrounded. Like, for instance, for this QB, just how they did in the offseason so far. And, I think the clear number one right now, it has to be the Texans. Just because of how much CJ Stroud just took off. And they not only bolstered up the offensive line, they reloaded with weapons. And CJ Stroud did plenty with the weapons he had. I don't want to say little weapons he had, because he didn't really even have that little weapons. He just kind of lost Tank Dell late in the season. But I mean, that offense is looking very scary. So number one is got to be Texans here for QB.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I've got Texans and CJ Stroud number one. I think he's the clear-cut favorite. I wish we could have been in position to draft him if we were a little bit higher. It was down to him and Richardson, like I've said. It's going to be fun watching us battle. Fun and not fun at the same time watching these battles over the next couple of years, but yeah, this was a no-brainer. The Texans have the top running back so far, or not running back, quarterback.
I was like, the fuck they don't.
Yeah. No.
If that doesn't spoil my answer for running back, I don't know
Well,
what
yeah.
does. But no, going back to the QB stuff, I mean, I think you and I both agreed before the draft is like, if Stroud falls to us, I want him. But if not, I don't want anybody else except for Richardson. Like,
Yeah.
I wasn't high on Bryce Young. Now, granted, I don't think he was the issue in Carolina.
Not by a long shot.
Yeah, and then Levis, I did not like that smoke. Let's just put it that way. But moving on to the second spot in that QB area, I think you and I can both agree who the second spot is. I think the Colts have got the second spot in QB as far as rankings. Now, some would say, oh, but what about Trevor Lawrence? I understand that, but I also said, kind of basing it off last season. I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence got injured, and he just kind of it. The whole season was like high, and then it just dropped. So it could have may not been his fault at all, but I just that fall off compared to just all the potential around Richardson right now. I can't help but think, try not to be biased, I can't help but think it leans more towards Richardson's potential to put the Colts in the second spot for the QB rankings. So I'm going to quickly round up mine so you can round up yours after. It goes Texans, Colts, and then I do have the Jags in the third spot because it's still Trevor Lawrence versus Will Levis. And obviously, I have to go with Trevor Lawrence. As much as I hate Titans fan, I'm still going to be real here. So it's Texans, Colts, Jaguars, and Titans for me in the QB list.
Okay, so we are differing right off the bat. I didn't want to do this too early, but I do have Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence at second. as of right now. I think Richardson's still young. He's developing. I think he will surpass him this season. But for right now, taking into account all the previous years Lawrence has had, the year Richardson had, not being able to stay fully healthy, that's what did it for me. Positioning him slightly above Richardson, who I have at third, but it's not by much. I really had a, I almost put Richardson second, but I wanted to think a little logical, but I do know Richardson is on his way up. And then last, I have Will Levis, and I have him last because the tear that Richardson was on before getting hurt, I think at the end of that season, his stats would have been far better than Will Levis's. And that's just because of the supporting cast that he had around him. You know, being able to play more with Jonathan Taylor, getting connected with Pittman and Josh Downs a little more. I just think Richardson would have ended up having the better season.
Yeah, I just for the sole fact of the potential, I just had to put Richardson second because if I believe my heart, if Richardson plays a full season healthy, we might see some very crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And I know all you other Titans fans, if you just so happen to listen to this, you're like, oh yeah, crazy numbers as an interception, like chill out, okay? But I genuinely think with his abilities of running and passing, which we haven't fully seen yet, do not forget that. We have not fully seen it. I think this could be a very, very crazy statistical year for Richardson. That's why I just had to put him number two.
Yeah,
But
so that was a little bit for Titans fans that have been talking crap or a specific. No, I'm not gonna go there. I'll just leave
well,
it at
this next one is where we're getting real crazy and
that.
talking about, which is the running back position rankings. So, as I already alluded to in the last few statements, I have the Colts ranked number one for running back. I don't think much needs to be said here. It's Jonathan Taylor. Okay, look at it from this perspective. It's Jonathan Taylor against Travis or Trevor. Oh my gosh, is it Trevor or
Travis,
Travis again?
Travis.
Okay, Travis Etienne. No longer Derrick Henry. We got Tony Pollard slash Tyjae Spears. I'm not really sure who's actually better than the other, to be honest. And then we got Joe Mixon now. So I look at those. The closest thing to me would be JT and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
But this one's gonna pain a lot of people. I'm still sticking by it. JT is still one of the best running backs in the league if he plays an entire healthy season. He will easily finish top five in rushing yards, and I don't believe any of those other three running backs will finish top five. Joe Mixon, maybe. ETN, maybe too, but I don't see any of them as like a clear-cut top five.
Yeah, you got to think about it too. I do have JT and the Colts number one at running back as well. The Colts are in one of those situations where it's probably going to be a run heavy team. Where
Exactly.
whereas and I'll go ahead and say I have Mixon second, Mixon, Pollard and Etienne. They're paired up with more traditional pocket passing quarterbacks. So, unless they're catching passes out of the backfield, their numbers aren't going to be as high as Jonathan Taylor's. So, that's why I give Taylor the number one spot. And then I'll go ahead and finish out my list. I've got Texans at second with Mixon, Titans, and then Jaguars. I think Pollard's still a good running back. I think he's above ETN at least. ETN's gonna be really, really great, but Pollard's already at that next level.
Our lists are very, very different.
Okay.
So, apart from the Colts being first, my actual second place are the Titans. I was also kind of looking at the running back room as a total kind of, but obviously more emphasis on the starter, which in my opinion, I mean, the Titans, I don't know necessarily know who would the starter really be. I believe it's going to probably be Pollard because Spears is a really good passing back. Although Pollard is pretty good as well in the passing game. But I have it ranked right now. JT, Pollard, ETN, and then Mixon. I also had to factor in some of the age. And Mixon is kind of up there compared to the other ones.
Yeah,
Although
that's
he's kind of right
fair.
there with JT, but also JT hasn't played nearly as much. So I feel like he's got more juice left. ETN. He's young. I feel like he could, they could, I feel like I could easily put the Jags second here. But just for the sole fact of Pollard playing in the NFC, he was behind one of the best offensive lines in the Dallas Cowboys. But he's also going against a lot of teams in the NFC that had like really good D lines,
Yeah.
really big D lines. So, I mean, I feel like that kind of goes along with it. I'm not saying the AFC is soft. Like, I mean, we got some crazy D lines. Like, look at our D line. Anyways, that's how my list goes. It goes Colts, JT, Titans, Pollard, Jags, ETN, Texans, Mixon as 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I can definitely see where you're coming from with putting the te with putting the Titans and Pollard second. I think I don't know, just whenever I was making this list, just something in the back of my mind was telling me that Mixon is going to come into this year with a chip on his shoulder. And I think he's going to look like he did in his early years with the Bengals. So that's kind of what led me to put him second.
I just,
But
it's because it's going to be such a pass heavy offense for them, though. I
yeah.
mean, you got to look at the receivers they got. Yeah, I mean, Mixon's also a very good pass. Like, all these guys are actually really good at receiving backs, now that I think
Oh,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I think about it that way is just also what's built around them. Like, Colts need heavy running because they need to kind of lessen Richardson's running ability, which I don't mean lessen the ability, but like a lessen the amount of times he feels the need to run. Titans, you got the kind of the two punch combo. Jags, I mean, ETN is a dog. Like
Yeah.
he's a dog. He'll run through you and run right past you like nothing. And then Joe Mixon, he's kind of the same thing, not nearly the same speed as ETN, but he'll run you over. But it's just, it's gonna be a pass heavy offense there. But if you want to lead the way on the wide receivers, this one could be a very, very interesting one.
Yeah, and this one, I'll fully admit, I was making this list in the middle of some certain wide receiver news breaking today. So, starting off, I have the Texans at number one, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Noah Brown. He's not a scrub. He did really well filling in for injuries last year. Oh, who am I thinking of? The receiver out of Alabama that they have. John Metchie.
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget about him either. He's gonna be one of those dark horses that could come off the bench, and he's definitely a vertical threat.
Yeah, I think the Texans at number one is kind of a consensus, honestly.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the Titans fan will be like, oh, what about Calvin Ridley? What about DeAndre? Just relax. Relax. But yes, I think Texans consensus number one right now.
And second, I have the Colts. Got Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, Adonai Mitchell. Gonna have Ashton Doolin back. You got Goodson, who's technically listed in the running backs, but can play wide receiver as well. Alec Pierce. I just think the Colts have the edge over the Jaguars and Titans.
Don't forget about our little new weapon we just got from the draft too.
Yeah, Anthony Gold, he's going to be something
Yep.
special in this offense. And then, if I were for me rounding out the list, Tyler Boyd got signed to the Titans, and I was, man, I honestly looked at the Jaguars wide receiver room. I originally had them at third. I just looking at it more, I had to swap them and the Titans because Gabe Davis, yeah, he was good playing second fiddle to Diggs in Buffalo. Christian Kirk, he pops off every now and then. Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is gonna event. I'll make this hot take right now. I think Brian Thomas Jr. this season will become wide receiver one for the Jaguars. But I have Titans third with Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd. And then Jaguars are at the bottom with Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas, and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I definitely didn't show any bias here whatsoever. I, you know, Texans, they're consensus number one. There's not really much to need to be said about that. Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell. I mean, it's just straight up, that's got to be number one. I actually do have the Titans at second. I mean, it's DeAndre Hopkins, it's Calvin Ridley, and now it's Tyler Boyd, and you still have Treylon Burks. I mean, he hasn't really hit his mark yet. But he's a good depth piece right now, especially behind those three now.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that unfortunately got hit with that injury bug last season.
Yeah. So Titans at number two. I have the Colts at three, you know, with Adonai Mitchell, Pittman Jr., and Josh Downs, and a little deep threat Alec Pierce there, and potentially fun weapon Anthony Gold.
Yeah.
I do have the Jags last again because it's really, I would actually consider them to be an underrated wide receiver trio because I mean Gabe
Yeah.
Davis was pretty solid last year along with Diggs. Actually, for the past couple of years, Gabe Davis has been pretty damn good alongside him. Then you got Christian Kirk, who with the incoming of Calvin Ridley last season, the last few seasons I believe, or not, was it just one season?
No,
Kirk
Ridley,
covered.
yeah, Ridley was there.
I believe it was one season, wasn't it? At least, if not one, maybe two. But
Yeah, 'cause
anyways,
I think last year was the year he came off the gambling suspension.
yeah. So with the incoming of Ridley, Christian Kirk didn't really do that bad with him kind of take a lot of the receptions, even with Kirk getting hurt a little bit there. But you got Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, and now the incoming of Brian Thomas Jr., which again, I will say, Brian Thomas Jr. is AJ Brown 2.0.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right now. So that's my list. It goes Texans, Titans, Colts, Jags. And from this one, I'm going to lead into the tight end room because the tight end room is a little interesting to me. So starting off, I do in fact have the Texans at number one. Just because of what they did last year, Jordan combined with Schultz, I mean they were a pretty good punch. Dalton Schultz was like the guy you just really trust to almost like really catch every single ball. And then Jordan, as we saw in one of the plays, he tight end's fast. That kind of shocked me. At number two though, I do have the Colts because we have a massive tight end group. I'm hoping Jelani Woods still starts, but even if he doesn't, we still got Kylan Granson that would be starting if Woods was not going to be. We still got Andrew Ogletree, regardless of what you think and everything that happened. He was cleared charges. It's all we can go with right now. So he's been practicing with the team, so he's back in the group. And he was good. Can't deny that.
Yep.
So, and then last but not least, we do still have Will Mallory and Mo Alley Cox, which I don't know what our plan is with Mo Alley. It
Yeah, it's
just
going to be
he's in my
interesting to
mind
see
he's
what we
been
do.
yeah it's just been weird because he's been kind of like in my mind dipping down the depth chart, and I don't know if we're gonna move him. I feel like we should because that tight end group is just massive and it's young too. So that's my number two. I do have the Titans at number three. I'm not even gonna try to attempt to pronounce his last name.
Oh,
So, Oh, you got it? All right, Mr.
Yeah.
Confident. Okay.
Well, just because I've got a friend that's a Titans fan, so I've heard him say the name multiple times. It's Okonkwo.
Okay, Okonkwo. All right. Who is their second string? Do you know at all?
See, that's the part I don't know. I here, let me pull up the depth chart while you finish out your
Yeah, because
list.
I try not to go picking based on depth because the Colts would be at the advantage here because they've got four tight ends that have all played. So I don't want to go by depth. But the Titans I have at third is Okonkwo. He's young. He's pretty good. He wasn't too bad last year. So I think the third spot is a really good spot for the Titans to be, as much as they're going to complain about it. But
Their backup tight end is Josh Wiley, who was a tight end out of Cincinnati.
okay. Now, this last one's gonna really anger the Jags fans. I have Jags last, even though their starting tight end is Evan Ingram. He was very good last year. I'm gonna give you that. But the age is getting there, and it just seems like the Jags offense is just falling apart. I don't want to say that and have the Jags like come out and be number one in the AFC and like win it fully with like the best offense in the AFC South, because it wouldn't shock me. But just from what I'm seeing, it seems like a downfall.
Yeah.
I'm gonna quickly say it, and it's gonna be PTSD for a lot of us. Trevor Lawrence feels like Andrew Luck. I had to rip the Band-Aid off, but with the injuries, with no O-line for him, with how the front office has done things. Now, granted, they've actually gotten weapons, just no offensive line. It feels like it just a little bit. So that's my tight end group. It goes Texans, Colts, Titans, and then Jaguars.
Yeah, I don't really have too much more to add. Our list is pretty similar, although I do have the Jags at third, just slightly above Okonkwo. I think Ingram, even though he is getting a little bit older, can still produce at a high level in that offense, even if it is starting to crumble around him. But with the Texans as well, there's a tight end you're forgetting about that was just
Oh,
acquired in the draft.
yeah,
CJ
Cade
Stroud.
Stover.
Yep.
Yep.
CJ Stroud gets to reunite with his college tight end. So, already having that chemistry there, that's going to work wonders for that offense. So, rounding
Hey,
out.
even without that, I still had a number one. So, I mean.
And then rounding out the offense, since I played the position in high school, I'll start off with the offensive line. I think. For me, I got Colts number one. We've got a really great offensive line. There weren't many sacks given up. And if there were sacks on Minshew and Richardson, it was because of plays developing and maybe a little bit of standing around in the pocket too long. But overall, we've got a good group at not giving up the sack. And then rounding out that list, I've got Texans second. Jags third and Titans fourth. I know this is going to seem like we're completely shitting on the Titans, but they need offensive linemen bad. It's got to be one of their top priorities if they want to keep their young quarterback Will Levis healthy.
My list is kind of similar, except for the very end of it. So I do have the Colts number one as well. We still I have the best offensive lineman in the entire AFC South, Quentin Nelson, Big Q, come onto the pod. And we also just acquired even more depth. We got Matt Gonsalves, who can really play multiple positions on the line. We also got Ian's favorite, Tanner Bordellini, who can come in and be even more center depth behind Ryan Kelly. We got Danny Pinter, who can even be coming back after not even getting a chance to play this season because of a preseason or OTA injury. So we got even more guys coming in to even bolster up the already good offensive line without them last year. So I have the number one, Texans number two, because they have done a little bit of work on protecting CJ Stroud, and they were already pretty damn good at it last year. He wasn't rushed very many times. I don't think he was even really sacked very many times. As for third, I do have the Titans. Their offensive linemen group is not very phenomenal, but I do the fact that Will Levis can kind of move around and like make some plays. He's at least able to kind of escape it. And obviously, from the last conversation, or within the last conversation, I had the Jags last. Because you know what Trevor Lawrence feels like to us. I won't say the name anymore because it hurts. The Jags, I feel like they have not touched up on that O line for like years. Now, granted, if I've missed some big pieces, I'm sorry, but it from the plays, it didn't look like they've gotten any big pieces for the offensive line. So rounded out, it's Colts, Texans, Titans, Jags for the offensive line ranking.
So that takes care of the offensive side of the ball. I'll go ahead and get started on defensive line. And without question, without a doubt, Colts number one for the defensive line unit. I mean, DeForest Buckner, dog. Grover Stewart, dog. On the edges, you've got Samson Ebukam, Kwity Paye, Dio Odangbo, Leatu Latu, whatever combination you want to have. I think we're a clear-cut favorite for the offensive line. I don't know what you or for the defensive line. It's going to give offensive line nightmares, but I think Colts definitely take the top spot for the defensive line, the defensive front.
Well, I actually have the Texans at number one. I might shock a lot of people, but Will Anderson Jr. is crazy. And this kind of flew under the radar a little bit. The Texan did not only just get Stephon Diggs this offseason, they got Danielle Hunter. I don't know if people remember that. And Danielle Hunter is very good. I think those two alone are massive for a defensive line. I think, in my opinion, they just barely surpass the Colts, just due to the fact that we have somebody at almost every single spot in the D line. With that being said, my second spot obviously is the Colts. With the incoming pieces of Raekwon Davis, you know, just massive
Yeah.
dog. We got Leatu Latu, dog. We already had Grover Stewart, dog. We now still have D-Buck because we extended him, dog. We still have Kwity because we also just picked up his fifth year.
Yep.
Dog, kind of, but I still need to see him do more. But still a dog. And then we got Samson, just like you said. We got Tyquan Lewis. It's a solid D line. But I still have to put us second because Will Anderson is just a force himself. And then now with the acquisition of Hunter, I can't help but think that D line might potentially be scarier. And then for third here, I have the Titans, who, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, that's kind of who is really leading the pack there. And then one of the recent pieces in T'Vondre Sweat, who we all know the offseason issue that, well, not really offseason, just pre-draft issue with the DUI, but we don't need to get into that. We're talking about the playability here. And then followed by the Jags, who have Josh Sweat, Trayvon Walker. I mean, it's a pretty decent group there. Oh fuck, who's the last one?
Eric Armstead.
Eric Armstead. Okay, sorry. I who was recently acquired from the
And
49ers.
I think you also had T'Vondre Sweat on the mind still because you just said a random name of Josh Sweat. I don't even know if that's a
Was
player.
it Josh Allen?
Yes, it was Josh Allen.
Oh, okay. Fuck it, leave that in. That's we love the bloopers. So, anyways, let me rephrase. Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker and Arik Armstead for the Jaguars. So to round up my list, it goes Texans, Colts, just a little gap in between, and then Titans and Jaguars for the D line. And then if you want to lead into the secondary here, oh wait, no, you.
Yeah, so I've got the Texans second. I factored in depth as a whole, and that's why I gave the Colts the edge, just because there's so many pieces that we're going to be able to rotate in and out. Whereas the Tech, like, and what I mean by rotating in and out is rotating in and out with not much of a drop off in production. Whereas the Texans, there's going to be a distinct difference between their first and second units. So I've got Texans second, Titans third. I'm really mad that they got Rhamondre Sweat. I know we didn't need him. I just did not want him to be in the division because he's going to be on a mission this year to prove everybody wrong that passed up on him because of the DUI. And then I finish up with the Jaguars fourth.
Yeah. It's, I'm not gonna lie, it's starting to feel like, in my opinion, that consensus of Jaguars coming up in last place for a lot of these spots.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, all the fans can be mad, but only this season can tell you what's true here. Now, leading into the secondary here, I do have. Oh, I mean, there's definitely zero bias here. I have the Texans number one solely due to the fact of Derek Stingley. The year he was drafted, his name really disappeared, and no, I don't believe a lot of people kind of remembered him being drafted. But I believe as of last year, he's really kind of come on as being a premier defender. I do have the Titans second. As much as I hate it, because we all know how the Colts fan base went when the L'Jarius Sneed stuff was going around. You're for sure getting him, according to some sources, but we're just going to let that slide. So the Titans have acquired L'Jarius Sneed, as we all know. So I have them listed second here. I'm really just going by main pieces because, I mean, those two, Stingley and Snead, are very big pieces. So, in my opinion, that's got to be a 1-2 right there. Third, I do have the Colts. We do have a young group. We got Brents, we got Jalen Jones, we got Kenny Moore, we got Flowers. It's a very young group, but I think year two, quite a few of them could really see a jump here. And then, as for the Jags, like I keep saying, like I just feel like the Jaguars as an organization are just, it's not very stable right now. And last year could have been just solely because of injuries, but it just looks like it from an outside perspective, trying not to be biased. It seemed like that group is kind of falling apart slowly. So I have the Jaguars last. So it's going to be Texans, Titans, Colts, and then Jaguars for the secondary.
Yeah, and see, this is where I'm going to come off as possibly being biased in these last three position groups. But for this secondary section, I factored in not only corners, but I've also got safeties, and I even threw in the linebacking cores into this. So I do have the Colts first. I think, especially in terms of linebackers, I think we have one of the best linebacking rooms in the division with Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed. I think Carly's that we just picked up in the draft is going to be phenomenal. We've got young guys at corner, headed up by Kenny Moore as the veteran of the group. Safeties, we've got Blackman, who I think made a tremendous jump this past season. Really looking forward to see him take another step this year as well. And Nick Cross, he's starting to come into his own now. Who knows? Free agency still could be stuff to be done. But overall, I do have the Colts first. Texans, I have coming in second. Then the Titans and Jaguars.
Okay, I can kind of see me by the list. I didn't really include linebackers in that list. I guess they kind of got left out, but I mean, in my opinion, like you said, I think the Colts have the best linebacking core. So if you were to include that, I feel like that would push the Colts, since I do have them third, maybe push them in the second, potentially first, but without it, I still see us at third. As for a fun little portion with the rankings, we got special teams. A very overlooked aspect of the game, which may not be the thing this year because of the new rules. So I have the Colts number one. Okay. I am very excited about the weapon we got, Anthony Gould. That man is a tracker. I would not be shocked if you look back at his past that he would have some track and field experience. That man is a certified speedster. He's no Tyreek Hill, but he's still a speedster. But I mean, our special teams has been a very prominent aspect of the game. Hell, Zaire Franklin started on the special teams. Tyquan Lewis started with special teams, and they both have now become the starting linebackers. They've now, I guess, I mean, they don't play special teams as much anymore, do they?
For
Since they're
who?
full-on starters, Zaire and Tyquan.
Maybe a
Just a little bit,
field goal
right?
block here and there.
Yeah, I mean, like on the receiving and the punting aspect, like we really flip the field on teams very easily. And now with Anthony Gould, I feel like we're gonna do that a whole lot more. And on the other side, I mean, we got some people who that could rush. I would not be shocked actually if just for whatever reason we don't start Latu as much. In the beginning stages, I could see him getting a lot of work at rushing, trying to block the punts. That would be very interesting to watch because he has a very quick first step to him. So that could be a good starting spot for him. But then I have it followed up with Titans, then Texans, and then Jaguars. That is my list. Colts will always reign supreme in the special teams for the AFC South.
Yeah, I mean, clear cut Colts got Matt Gay. Got Anthony Gould, Rigoberto Sanchez that can just boot the thing down there. It feels like we got Pat McAfee back there again. Shout out, Pat. Overall with this unit, I guess if I could be a little bit cheesy here with this Colts special teams unit, we got special teams with special players making special plays.
Brother.
I had to do it. I don't. Anyway, rounding out this special team section, I've got Texans second, Titans third, and Jaguars I've got fourth only because they've got a new rookie kicker that is going to be debuting for the first time this year. Rookie kickers, you get a handful of them that'll do well. But it's not always a given.
Now, following up with this entire run through of our rankings, because the Titans fans truly wanted this, so on the pod, might as well do it. But in regards to where we had each team ranked for each position, I went ahead and told Ian before this that based on how many essentially votes we had for like each spot, who's in first, who's in second, who's in third, or who's in fourth. I use that as a ranking to see how the AFC South standings would actually be. Not record or anything, just where they're listed throughout the who's got the best QB, who's got the best running back, wide receiver, tight end, so on. So, based on everything that I picked and tallied up, the AFC South standings would go Texans number one, Colts number two, Titans three, Jaguars fourth, almost a repeat of last year.
I've got it a very similar way. I think I've got the Titans and Jaguars maybe flip-flopped a little bit. I don't think the Jaguars are fully falling off yet, but I don't know. As much as I hate giving them credit, I do think this Titans offense may surprise teams this year. But overall, I've got it as Texans, Colts, Jaguars, Titans. I think, like every other year, it's going to be one of those divisions. It's going to come down to week 18 to determine who the winner is. Unless early in the year, one of us just goes on an absolute tear and runs away with the division early.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, you saw it happen last year. Jaguars are running away with it early, and then that, yeah, we know what happened. I mean, I think the AFC South this year might be the tightest it's ever been, and last year was pretty tight. So, I mean, it quite literally came down to the final game of the season, actually. But moving on from that subject, again, I just wanted to touch a little bit on free agency here. I still have, safety and corner are our biggest needs. And I was like asking myself, I'm like, are these acquisitions like inevitable just due to the lack of depth we have at certain spots, especially for veteran depth? So I made a little list. So as for safety, I put a top couple names here, put Justin Simmons, Quandre Diggs, which I kept mistaking for corner. He's a safety. Eddie Jackson, actually. Micah Hyde. He was still on the list. Micah Hyde. I don't believe he got re-signed or went to a new team, but he was still on the list that I kept seeing. And then to finish off the safety list is Jamal Adams, which again, I don't believe he's gone anywhere, but also I don't know if I was looking at an updated list. I feel like I was, because most of these names I recognize of still being available. As for corner, I only have a few names here because there's, it's kind of slim pickings for corner. I stuck in my main few. It's Xavien Howard, Stephon Gilmore, bring back Gilly, or Steven Nelson, which is a name that's been slowly floating around Colts Twitter as somebody we should acquire for cornerback depth and veteran depth.
I tend to agree with that list. Right now I'm trying to look up the current cap space because I do know that that franchise tag that Kwity or that the option that got picked up for Kwity did take away like $13 million from our cap. So getting to the Colts here.
Well, to add to that list, I do have another little spot that we should kind of look at is the running back depth. Right now, the depth chart seems to be it's going to be Jonathan Taylor, Evan Hall, Trey Sermon, and probably Tyler Goodson to round it out. I don't think it would necessarily hurt to grab a Cam Akers, who is still young, had a pretty brutal injury list so far. But, not being the starter, I feel like he could be a very serviceable backup. But I would also still like to see Evan Hall get a chance because I think he could still do very well. I don't know if he can eclipse what Zach Moss was doing last year in JT's absence, but I think Hall can be pretty solid there. A few more things as Ian's kind of looking up the Colts stuff here. So we got OTAs finally starting to slowly heat up here, and we've got some major news within all of this. As of Sunday, May 5th, we got a notification that says Anthony Richardson is back to full go, full throwing with no setbacks as of right now. So the man, the legend, is back to throwing. So we got some good news about him. His shoulder is healthy. He's throwing like he was never injured in the first place. You know, feels good. A little thing with the OTAs. What expectations do you have just in general, like with the rookies, with the second year players, just anything in general?
It's going to be interesting. I feel like there's going to be a lot of guys, especially the rookies at certain position groups, that are going to be competing for some starting spots. And it's going to come down to who eventually wins those starting spots. We'll get to that when we get to our individual depth charts here in a second. But I'm looking for Anthony to mature a little more as a passer. Obviously, not going to be any contact in OTAs, training camp, nothing until preseason. But, I'm going to look for him to have better pocket awareness, learning when he should run.
Slide, please.
When it's actually necessary to try to get those extra yards. You got Jonathan Taylor. I'm going to go ahead and say never. Just get out of bounds or slide. But there's some guys that I do think are going to take a massive step this year, rookies included.
My biggest thing I look at is there's two players that need to make a leap or they might be done for. Those two question marks is Alec Pierce. He's got to make a jump. And I believe he'll be fourth on the depth chart here, kind of apart from, because, behind Pittman, Mitchell, and Downs. But Pierce has got to make a leap here, or I feel like he might become a piece that gets moved on from. On the defensive side of the ball, I think that player could be Kwity. Ever since we got him, it's been kind of, lacking with what he's been needing to be doing and what's been expected of him. So one piece on each side of the ball that I feel like it could be their make or break year. Expectations are I'm really looking forward to Latu being that dominant force almost immediately. I'm not saying I'm like expecting it necessarily, I guess, but I'm hoping for it and I can easily see it happening. And then obviously one of the biggest things is Richardson to go through a full season healthy. That is like I'm pounding the table for that one. Just a full, healthy season. Because we're about to finally see him with JT. And
Oh
boy, is that gonna be a sight to see.
yeah. I feel like this entire training camp, OTAs, this entire offseason, Steichen's gonna be like drawing up some wild, crazy shit for us to put out there on Sundays. But I couldn't agree more with the players that you mentioned. I definitely think those are the ones that we're gonna have to keep an eye on there. I may throw in Mo Alie-Cox if he's not moved by the time we get to the start of the season. But
Oh, yeah. And Woods, we get to finally see him. I want to see him become a sheer weapon in the red zone, dude. How do you out jump somebody who's 6'8"? I want to see somebody try.
Yeah, and then like you said, man, I'm super excited to possibly get out to training camp and see Latu. Like, he wants this a lot. He's got a fucking horseshoe tattoo on his shoulder already.
Oh yeah.
He wants this
You're excited.
bad.
You're excited to watch Latu just bulldoze through the line, get to the quarterback. I'm ready to watch Mitchell levitate in the air just like he did against Washington. in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that was an insane catch. I feel like we're in for a lot more of that. To end out this podcast, we wanted to go through and kind of predict a depth chart for the Indianapolis Colts, who we think the projected starters could be. And obviously, I'll start it off the most obvious order in quarterback. It's going to be Richardson, Flacco, Ellinger. Don't really need to spend too much time on that one. It's a given at this point.
Yeah, we don't need to really go into description either for any of these anyways. It's just kind of just simply just straight up name,
Yeah.
just who we think is going to really make the team essentially. As for QB for me, same thing. AR, Flacco, Ellinger. I did add Mr. Jason Bean from Kansas.
Yeah.
I feel like he could potentially be used in just little situations because he's a fast man.
Yeah, it could be a competition for QB3. And
Yeah.
then for running back, what I have, people may agree or disagree with the order, but I have JT, Evan Hull, and then Trey Sermon as running back three.
Now, don't forget, guys, this is obviously barring no free agency slash no trades whatsoever from here until the season.
And
So
barring
this
any
is just
freak injuries by the time this podcast episode comes out.
God, dude. Oh. Don't even don't, you keep your mouth shut with that.
I gotta burn
No
some sage over
jinxes.
here.
This is yeah, barring no free agency, no trades, no catastrophic injuries. This is just straight up the players we have on the depth chart right now and the new rookies that have come in. So for running back, I have JT, Trey Sermon, Evan Hall, and Tyler Goodson. I think Goodson will still make the top four here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. I almost wanted to talk about barring free agency. I was going to add in barring punching any photographers, but that may be a little too soon for certain teams.
I wonder if that punch was going 119 miles an hour. It was a bad joke. I know, but hey, he did it to himself.
Wide receiver group, I've got the starting three as Michael Pittman Jr., Adonai Mitchell, and Josh Downs, with possible second units of Doolin, Pierce, and Gold. I think we can mix in Goodson has played receiver before, so I think he can mix in well at the wide receiver spot as well as running back. And then Xavier Scott, that's another guy we didn't get to see much of during the season. And in my mind, when you and I went to go see him at training camp, I thought he looked pretty solid.
Yeah, my top three obviously are Pittman, Mitchell, and Downs. I do have a second group that I guess now that I think about it would be a solid second group without any of those top three in it. It'd be Pierce, Doolin, and then I have Gold, Anthony Gold as the third guy, which he would be the one that's likely competing with Xavier Scott. I think if anything, Pierce and Doolin got their spots kind of secured in a second. Secondary like group.
Yeah. Tight ends. Obviously, I've got the starters, Jelani Woods. I went back and forth on this one. I think because Granson's a little bit more of a late down guy, I've got Mo Alie-Cox as tight end too, and then Granson rounding out the third. But we're going to be able to mix in guys a lot. I don't think there's going to be multiple combinations.
Yeah, my top guys are Jelani, Kylan, and Ogletree. I do have Mo listed. I do not have Mallory listed, but realistically, I think you can sub in Mallory for where Mo is. Because I was telling Ian before this pod, I feel like Mo is kind of slipping on my depth chart. Like I just don't see a fit for him any longer. I mean, he's been here since the Andrew Luck era. I should bleep out that those words because that's like just bad words right now. But I think Jelani is mainly like red zone threat. I
Yeah.
mean, he could be used like midfield just for like normal stuff. But like I feel like he's just a red zone threat. Granson and Ogletree are just yak guys, you know,
Yeah.
grabbing those yards off the catch and just moving us down the field. But moving on to left tackle, if you want to lead that, Mr. O-lineman.
Yeah, so I've actually got both tackle spots at the same time. So left side, got Bernard Raimann, right side, Braden Smith, and then backups for each position, I got Matt Gonsalves, Blake Freeland. Blake Freeland really impressed me last year. I'm looking for him to take a jump as well.
Yeah, I don't really need to go into too much detail because I have the quite literally the exact same for both left tackle and right tackle. Good old Rain Man is what I'll call him, followed by Goncalves and then Smith, followed by Freeland.
Yeah.
Left guard
Off.
might be the most obvious,
Yeah,
but
offensive guard, I've got Quentin Nelson. I'm giving Fries the edge at right guard just because I think Pinter's still working his way back from that injury. I think he can be an immediate backup as well as Bortolini.
Yeah, I specifically have left guard listed at Big Q and Josh Sills.
Okay.
He was actually pretty high on the depth chart, not gonna lie.
Okay.
As for right guard, I do have Will Fries followed by Bortolini as well, but I do feel like Bortolini could go more center realistically. And
Yeah, and
then quickly.
that's where it's going to get interesting. I know that's where you were leading to for center. I've got Kelly as the starter, obviously, but I think both Pinter and Bortolini could be the potential immediate backups. One could be more guard, one could be more center. We don't know how it's going to shake out, but it's nice to have guys that can play multiple positions so you get flexibility with this depth chart.
Yeah, I've got Pinter as well as the depth behind Kelly at center.
Yeah. And then moving on to the defensive side of the ball, obviously D tackles, I got my starting two as Buckner and Grove, with the backups of Raekwon Davis and Taven Bryan.
Okay. Mine's a little different. I got obviously my first group, but I kind of just did it as a list. As like just my top four guys,
Okay.
I've got Grover. Like this is no order either. Grover, Raekwon, D-Buck, and Adebawore. I don't know if I pronounced that wrong.
Adebawore, it was pretty close.
I think he might get the edge over Brian this year, just a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that either. For edge rushers, I've got Ebukam and Latu as my starting two, with Kwity Paye Odangbo heading up the second unit. Got Tyquan Lewis that can also rotate in there.
Yeah, I have Latu and Kwity as the top two guys. I think they're going to give Kwity one more chance to kind of stay as a starter.
Yeah.
I got Mbukum and Odangbo kind of following up there, and then same thing with Lewis as well. Moving on to linebackers, though, I do have EJ Speed and Zaire obviously run at the top two. But I do have my next group being a mix of Ronnie Harrison and Carlees. Carly's just like that is such a big man, a
Yeah,
big fast man. I'm very interested by him.
it's gonna be fun to see him out there. I pretty much got the same other backups. I've got Grant Stewart, who has the best head of hair in the NFL right now. You can never see his name. Olubi, we saw him back up Zaire Franklin when he got hurt a little bit later in the season. Corners, I've got my starting unit being Juju Brents, Dallas Flowers, and Kenny Moore, with the immediate backups for those three being Jalen Jones, Jalen Simpson, and Micah Abraham.
Yeah, my corners are kind of roughly the same, to be honest.
Yeah.
I have it starting out with Juju, Kenny, and Jalen Jones, followed by Flowers and Jalen Simpson. Kind of just like what I said about Carly's, Simpson's also intriguing me as well. He wasn't a very sought after guy in the draft, but I mean, playing, I believe, Auburn, right?
Yeah.
I mean, playing in the SEC, I that you're playing against just I don't want to say enough competition. You're quite literally playing against the competition, because I genuinely think like most of the NFL draftees are, it feels like it's always SEC. So I feel like you're always playing against potential NFL prospects, essentially.
Yeah, I even said it in my draft breakdown. Simpson, he did really well against Malik Nabers and Brock Bowers in that SEC. So I do think he's a guy that could compete for one of those starting jobs. And
Right.
then rounding out this list, I didn't include kickers just because those were obvious. We're not changing our kickers. My
Don't you
starting
worry,
sit.
I'm down just to give him some recognition too. It's all good.
So my starting safeties I have as Julian Blackman and Nick Cross, with the immediate backups being Scott and Thomas.
Yeah, for well, specifically strong safety, I've got the list going Blackman, Daniel Scott, and Kendall Brooks. And then as for free safety, it's kind of got a short list because I think Kendall can kind of play both as well.
Yeah.
I've got free safety specifically to Nick Cross and Rodney Thomas, because Rodney Thomas was playing quite a bit last year, especially with some of the injuries kind of in and around. I feel like he played a little bit of corner, didn't he, as well? Just because due the amount of injuries within the corners too.
No, I don't think he played corner. I think he was mainly safety. I almost put Rodney Thomas as a starting safety, but I think any of these guys you can rotate in and you're going to have success. Nick Cross took a massive step last year, and I was very impressed with his maturity.
Yeah, looking at the safety room, this is really the reason why I would love to get Justin Simmons. That I cannot stress enough. I feel like that is genuinely the perfect piece. Like, people were stressing over us needing corner, but like, sorry, I just dropped my water bottle. Terrible podcaster. But like, people are stressing corner. Like, even like on the draft stuff, like you're saying corners are one of our biggest needs. I don't necessarily think so. I think safety is our biggest need.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think corners, we're not going to really touch that much. And then, obviously, to round out, we're both in agreement. Rigoberto Sanchez is our punter, Matt Gay is our
Yep.
kicker.
Yep. Both returners, I straight up put gold. I mean, it's got to be him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I want to go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in. This is one of our, but probably our longest episode we've put out there, but thank you all for listening. We can't wait to see what this season holds for us. Hopefully we've got some fun stuff that we can bring you guys every week. But until then, check out primetimeproductions.net. I'm Ian. He's Chef
I'm
Aiden
Aiden,
Kennedy.
Chef
Chef Aiden
Kennedy.
Kennedy. And this is
I
Indie
butchered my damn
Bleeds
name.
Blue. This is Indie Bleeds Blue. Go Colts.
Whoop whoop.